now on Money News, Talking Trade with Roger Montgomery. Thanks to H&H Financial Services for commercial loans, development finance and private equity.
Well, the great man is here from Montgomery Investment Management, plus also the author of Valuable, which is a book that people should get done, isn't it, Roger? You like it, don't you?
Did you? Well, I wrote it.
Yes, but, that's right.
Do you know it became a bestseller within 14 weeks of its release?
Yeah, well, it's now... It's four years old. How many reprints?
Three.
3 years old.
3 years from the second edition, and it's I still have people writing to me saying it's been their guidebook.
Well, that was the whole idea of it, though, wasn't it? You wanted something to show a philosophy, so that you could actually go from there.
Yeah.
All right. I want to take you to the market now. The stock market. The stock market has gone from a peak, as we're aware, of about let's call it 5,600, somewhere close on there. And that's the All Ordinaries Index. Today, it's down 200 or 300 points. So the whole gain of 2014 has been wiped away.
Yeah, that's right.
You and I, in the last few weeks, we'd always said that we thought that particularly bank stocks were getting a bit fizzy and looked a bit high.
Yes.
And you'd said, yeah, well, that seems right on their valuations.
And for a couple of months now, I've been saying here on your program, Ross, that the market seems to be expensive. We can't find many things to buy.
Yes.
Having said that, though, I also did say that I believe while interest rates remain low, that it'll be a good place to be invested and that it'll continue running up. I'm now starting to get a little bit concerned that the low period of volatility that we've been enjoying, typically volatility clusters, and so you get these long periods of low volatility, and then at the end of that, when it ends, and nobody knows exactly when it ends, but almost with monotonous regularity, you get periods of very high volatility, and that is where a lot of money can be lost on the stock market that was made previously. So there's a few warning signs now that that I believe investors need to be aware of to make sure they're dancing very close to the door, because the party's still on, the band is still playing, but you want to be close to the door, because if you leave too late, there won't be any cabs to take you home to safety.
That's right. Though you don't believe in charting and, you don't believe in it. You're not a big believer in it, because you look at the fundamentals.
It's the fool's gold of the financial markets.
I do understand it, but enough people follow it. And if enough people follow a trend, then ultimately it can bear truth. Mm. One small thing I will tell you, and those chartists will watch it, because particularly when it comes to short-term trends, I have seen people succeed in watching this. You would have to say, if you look at the trend that's been there for this year, at least anyway, in the falls that we've seen in the past few days, it would appear as though the support level, the support line of the market has been breached. Now, it's bounced back again today, but it's short sellers that have been pushing this market down. It's been short sellers selling out bank stocks, Australian bank stocks, taking their profits, taking the high dollar and moving the money overseas.
Well, taking a profit.
That's what's really moved the market in Australia.
Well, taking profits different to short selling, so it's probably a combination of both
of them. Well, it could have been both, I would have thought.
But the reality is what we've got a market that wasn't particularly cheap. I said here on the program it was about 10% overvalued.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that it's going to go down a lot, but it's just something to be cautious of. The other big problem is that we've got massive amounts of global debt. US domestic non-financial debt as a percentage of GDP is now 250%. Compared to 223% just before the GFC. So what you've got is you've actually got debt markets that have grown in the United States rather than having that debt paid off, which is what we thought was happening. So debt's actually gone through the roof. The big story, though, is interest rates. Not only are they low, but relative to each other, bond rates around the world are extreme. The spreads are extremely narrow. So people are lending money to Spain and Italy at 1.3% more than they're willing to lend money to Germany. Mm. And then you've got C-rated sub-investment grade companies. Used to be called junk bonds. Now, euphemistically, they're referred to as high yield bonds.
Yes.
And they're only yielding 3.8% more than US Treasury bonds. So investors are moving up the risk curve to try and sustain some semblance of income. And in so doing, they're taking on incredibly high amounts of risk at precisely the time we've had a long period of low volatility. And when volatility picks up again, then what you're going to find is all these people are going to lose money. Now, what's interesting is the Bloomberg conference in New York last week, there was a bloke there who, Leon, his name was, and I'm trying to think of his surname, but can't think of it for the life of me. But anyway, he said that stocks don't look particularly expensive compared to bonds. forgetting that earlier in the session he'd said bonds are frighteningly expensive. So if your bonds are expensive and stocks don't seem expensive compared to bonds, that means stocks are expensive too. So in the United States, there's a growing chorus of high-profile, very successful billionaire hedge fund managers who are now saying this is a bubble in the bond market and it's going to have significant repercussions for investors.
Right, because, of course, as soon as something happens and interest rates start to go up, all of these bond investors are going to get wiped out, aren't they?
They will lose money. Interest rates rise. When interest rates rise, the argument for owning stocks because of their yield disappears, and it's like Wile E. Coyote in The Roadrunner when he runs off the cliff and he's spinning his legs and he looks down and there's a canyon below him and he drops.
The real problem is there is so much paper in the market now to try and refloat the US economy.
It's incredible.
As soon as you start getting rising interest rates, then the real problem is how do people pay back the interest and how do people pay back the principal?
Yeah, well, there seems to be... Yeah, there's a terrific cartoon that I saw and it's just come out and said, I'm looking for a no interest loan because I have no interest in paying it back.
That's a very funny thing. All right. So but that message about the warning to investors, not only around the world, but here, also comes to investors here frustrated by very low interest rates. And they have got to be very cautious of jumping into the stock market. They've got to be very cautious of jumping into investment schemes where there appears to be a relatively attractive yield or return
Exactly. I'm trying to be the canary in the gold mine to say that in aggregate, investors tend to lose money when markets go down. They don't get out in time.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is, en masse, they've moved into stocks for that higher yield. They've gone into the banks. They've gone into Telstra. They've even gone into Rio and BHP. They're going into retail REITs. Property trusts.
Well,
at the same time that the retailers are going bust or renegotiating lower rents.
But the second part about it, you and I have been around long enough that we've seen those things freeze people's assets and freeze their money up for such a long period of time in the past.
That's exactly right.
And so surely that's one of the things that people should recognise even today, that you don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past that will cost you money.
And you know what? It doesn't matter if you miss out on the last 1% or 2% of gain.
Yeah.
What matters is that you protect.
Even the last five.
But you don't want to lose 20, particularly if you're on the cusp of retirement. You know, if you're on the cusp of retirement, you're about to retire, the worst thing that can happen to you is you get a massive setback right at the start of your retirement.
See, there are times when 3% in a bank actually looks like a reasonable return when everybody's losing 20%
or better than minus 20, exactly.
There you go. But the top problem is always timing. There is no doubt about that. Roger Montgomery joins us here every Tuesday talking the investment markets and joining the stock market as well. We've brought him in earlier tonight because coming up next, we are going to have a chat with our good friend from London, David Buell. And we're going to have a chat to him about why Tesco, which was said to be the world's best supermarket group, seems to be falling apart. That's coming up next.